Slowly, slowly, and quickly, quickly. Quickly, quickly, it may seem mad, but you must come with me. You must come now, follow me. We followed the architect out of the office and into the street. He dashed up some steps and into a small tunnel-like building that we were told was a Byzantine church, rarely open but being cleaned by two ladies, one of whom he'd apparently spotted in the street, hence the rush. There was some casual discussion of the architecture and the restored frescoes, and then the conversation changed. Are you cold? No, I replied. But this is a stone building too, with small windows also. You must have air conditioning in the Pano house. Back to the office then. I think I understood the reason for the visit. It had certainly taken a short cut through the discussion on heating. Some 2 hours before, we'd renewed our acquaintance with the architect, which to date has been developing by email and by phone. We had shaken hands back in May as he passed us in the office, but we were only buyers then. Now we would be involved together in the more serious and intricate process of renovation. We had arrived too early for a 6:30 appointment that I'd mistakenly thought was for 6 o'clock. It was agreed we would go off for a welcome cold drink. It was still nearly 30 degrees, even in the early evening, and we rehearsed the sort of areas we wanted to discuss. A small photo portfolio of things we liked and projects that we'd completed at home had been brought by us along in the hope of speeding the designer, client, getting to know us process. We were unsure whether this was the right thing, but it felt like it, and the decor and design of his office had already made us feel that they were our sort of folk. Clean designs and photo layouts are mixed with old radios and stereos, books, journals, stylish furniture and painted sticks and stones in rows of galvanised bucket planters. We need not have worried. The portfolio of inspiration pictures was a success, and the architect himself, a bright-eyed owl of a man, became more and more animated and amused by these vignettes of our life. And this caravan, it's in your garden. These coloured cupboards, they're in your kitchen. They're school lockers. Bravo. Yes, I can see you like colour. This is helpful. Look at this. A mad little van. Yes, a Volkswagen. His estate agent had joined us, and there was the opportunity to thank him for steering us through the buying process, which I freely admitted had been a little worrying at times from the distance of 2,000 miles. Coffee or cold drinks, let me show you some of our work. There followed one of the most interesting hours I could ever remember spending, certainly in anyone's office. Guided through photos on the PC of recent and past projects, both new build and renovations. The pictures show bold modern edifices of white concrete and plate glass, as well as old stone converted olive presses and windmills. But our house is very small. Can interesting things still be done? Of course, because it is small, interesting things must be done. There were details of windows, doors, limestone floors and pastel-painted woodwork, beautiful lights and fittings. It was all truly inspired. We'd found a serious architect here and an artist who was clearly proud of his craft. There will be much to discuss, much to plan in the house, where to put things, the specification of fittings, what could be reused, so much to consider. Exciting, yes. It was suggested that it would be necessary to prepare drawings in a lot of detail to get agreement on precise specification, and we agreed that it seemed especially important, given the space restrictions and the other requirements. The village is, in effect, a listed village, so proposals needed to be sympathetic and take into consideration what would be accepted. But his humour broke through. It does not mean that the design should be safe and boring. It is a holiday home, and holidays should be fun, yes. The drawings would contain details of electrics, door furniture, plumbing, air conditioning. Wait a moment, my Northern European roots reveal themselves. Is air conditioning strictly necessary? You want to be comfortable, this is Crete. It's essential. But this is an old stone house built on rock with small windows. Half-meter thick stone walls, shutters. Surely it would be cool even in summer. The conversation moved on. I felt my protestations may have been ignored. No matter, it was early days. and it was fascinating listening to a master enthusing about the possible and being so positive. Many requests were met with, of course, that could be done, or we would certainly look at doing that. There was none of the teeth sucking and tutting and muttering that seemed to characterise the British building industry. There seemed to be Mediterranean creativity at its best. Even corrections were handled with such charm and subtlety. After an hour and a half, the previously related drama unfolded as we were given our air conditioning lesson. But there was no crowing over a victory, and upon returning to the office, the conversation became more playful. Your inspirations show you understand elements of living in small spaces. You need to be able to convert things. A table becomes a shelf. The loft hatch becomes the floor again. There must be versatility. A washing machine becomes a bed. We all threw in more and more absurd suggestions. We had so much food for thought, but we were reassured by the parting comment, "There is much that can be done. It's a good house, a good space. You've seen pictures and plans. Come with me to see some real buildings." We were hoping for this offer, since it had been casually mentioned during earlier conversations. "Yes, that would be really helpful. Great. When?" "Tomorrow. Meet me here at 10:30. Come with me on some site visits." "Yes, please. Great. Thanks." "Okay. We'll meet again tomorrow." Arriving at the office for 10:30, and after a quick cold drink, we were off to the hills in the company four-wheel drive. Some natural history lessons of the island were relayed to us concerning olive tree planting and the use of the carob tree, which included photographic processing. Who would have known? Fairly soon we arrived in a hill town where he had a site and a visit which we would accompany him on. But first of all, we drove through the narrow streets on the southern outskirts of the town, climbing up through the town to park behind a church with spectacular views. Opposite the church, he pointed out an interesting stone building with a walled garden and rich honey-coloured windows and doors. It was an old olive press building and outhouses which had been sympathetically converted to a modernised home. The newly pointed mortar between the old stones has drawn to our attention. "This will be necessary in your house if it's to keep out the water." "Well, we need that. The water we need is not that sort, but mains water. Another something to be arranged." We also noticed a strange pattern to one of the lintels over a small side window. It looked like a wooden turned screw, some 5 foot long. "Yes, that's interesting. It's part of the old mill mechanism. It's been recovered to make the lintel and connect the building's original purpose. A nice decorative and sensitive touch. Very typical of his style," we were to discover. We drove further up the hill to park again, and this time we followed him into a townhouse with a wrought iron balcony. As soon as we were inside, we could see this was a finished project. The interior was newly painted white with a pistachio green finish to the woodwork. The whole impression was all very cool and clean. The first room was white and cool, with a tiled wet room behind a sliding glass frame. Then stairs led up to a first floor room with the pale green stained floorboards and built-in matching coloured storage acting as a frame to the stairwell. From this room there was an intriguing staircase with a small section of old open tread stairs leading to a white staircase that had been faced with terracotta coloured stone paint. The top story contained a living room as well as a large glass sliding door to a balcony. It also contained a handmade wood kitchen built by his carpenter and again painted in cool green, with a creamy pink marble work surface and a sink. The sink had been recovered from the building and was the inspiration for some of the colour schemes through the house. It was fabulous, not what we'd expected from the almost colonial frontage with wrought iron balconies. What condition was the house before the renovation? It was a wreck, of course, much like yours, but you should see the results of this now. Yes, we do. Right, on to the next house, a work in progress. We drove through the back streets of the town, past a number of renovation projects and derelict and in some cases tumbled down houses. Fetching up outside a house which appeared to have a cloud of dust in the front yard and two workers hanging out of an upstairs window, wrestling with a white flexible pipe. "No, not there. That's meant to be invisible. Oh, it's a good thing I've come now." With that, we were left in the car as he raced upstairs to give these people the benefit of his architectural training. We expected blows or at least shouting and screaming, but moments later he was back beckoning us into the house. "It's okay. It's all sorted now. Sometimes you're lucky enough to arrive in time. It's remedial work. Come in the house. It's owned by a man from Scotland. Come and meet him." We all strode through the dust, nodding at the guy making it with a powered jackhammer and the other guy sitting in the cloud with him, helping. Inside the building, as our eyes adapted to coming in from the bright sunlight, we met Jack, who was now standing next to and staring at a collection of stone pieces laid on the floor, a jigsaw puzzle of an 8-foot Gothic stone arch. There was scratching of heads and a bit of kicking at the stones at the apex to adjust the angles, and a bit of staring, helped by smoking. We were led upstairs by a tall man, who turned out to be Jack's son, who was over for a few weeks helping as part of a working holiday. Once introductions had been made, we were shown the stripped wooden floor and the new windows and doors upstairs, complete with bright white stone windowsills, all inlaid with small enameled tiles, an architect's detail, we were told, to add interest. "He's doing a renovation for you," my dad says. "He's a magician. You've made a wise choice." We were starting to realise this, though I resisted admitting he was the only architect I knew for almost 2,000 miles. "Come and see the limestone floor downstairs." We were later told that the plasterer had completed this, the first one he'd ever done. It looked great. "So how long has the work been going on?" "Oh, some years at least, but my dad keeps changing what he wants. The kitchen's been moved 3 times, and there are more rooms now." 3 years. Was this another subtle architect's lesson, this time on the importance of good planning? We said our thanks and returned to the car. "You saw a lot of local wood and stone in both of these houses. If you use local materials, it's right and what people are used to working with. It keeps the costs down. If you start importing unfamiliar glass and steel products, you push up the costs. Much can be done here." We were all for that, and about 3 years, I was too hot and thirsty to bring that up at this stage. It'd been a stimulating morning enough already. Rolling stones. Next, I'll take you to the stonemasons. It's interesting. It certainly was. And if I'd been an HM factory safety inspector, it would have kept me employed for the rest of my career. We parked, again in a cloud of dust, not all self-made, in a clear space in front of an open-fronted building in the middle of what looked like the site of a recently demolished large marble building. I quickly realised their rather random stockpiling system had given this impression, and like many people's sock drawers or desks, this was a carefully organised mess where someone knew where everything was. But I think he was off that day. Something was said to one of the only 2 people visible, who took a breather from hand-feeding large rocks into some fearsome powered saw bench machine that was surrounded by a mix of water spray and dust, but both operatives were dressed in the standard company safety gear of designer sunglasses, shorts, sandals and a heavy metal t-shirt. Though if this was your workplace, Black Sabbath or the like probably seemed quite soothing. We were shown some different finished sheets of grey and white stone, but the noise of the machine made it virtually impossible to hear him. After waving an offcut he picked up off the floor to the stonemason heavy metal fan, he received a thumbs up and went outside. He seemed to have acquired a free marble CD rack, and I wondered cynically if this had may not have been the whole purpose of the visit. Before we left, he took me over to meet a man making markings on the face of stone blocks, one at a time, by hand. "It's popular," he said. "Crazy." And I must admit I wondered whether Stoneworks Incorporated employee healthcare scheme covered repetitive strain injury. In the car and back to the office. They can cut anything there in stone for bathrooms, work surfaces, windowsills. All is possible and not expensive. We'll go back to IS now. We were dropped at the office. We'd seen so much. What next? Tomorrow is Saturday. I'll ring you on Sunday to arrange meeting at the house. We must have supper together. There's much to discuss. He was not kidding. Stunned, we staggered out of their air-conditioned office into the sunlight, food and drink before anything else. We went round the corner to a cafe with a designer bar and bathroom that we'd been in the previous May. It was only 10 weeks ago. A lot have happened, and I had a feeling it was only just beginning.